can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Good afternoon, family. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Here we go. Good afternoon. This is Thomas Gamble. I am your host for this Bible study tonight. I need to talk tonight. I see a pattern developing. A pattern that includes the broadcast today about the black and white issue and slavery going back to 1600s. Replacement theology, hardcore, going back to Leviticus, that homosexuals should be killed, ideas by Stephen Anderson, military coup plans that outwardly just on national TV said Rick Joyner that we need a military takeover of the U.S. government. He's a Knights of Malta. Family, there's a pattern developing here of this Christian identity, white man push for New World Order. I know that the New World Order, which is satanic, are anti-minority and anti-anybody that worships Jesus Christ. They're linked up to the replacement theology, is linked up to the Vatican and Jesuits, which we know is based on a pagan root system, goes back to Nimrod, developed into Christianity about, thousands of years later, 325 A.D. Before that was the Caesars trying to kill the Christians. Satan's been a busy boy. I'm starting to see a pattern develop, and when I talk about it today, you'll see it too. And if I don't, then I need you all to straighten me out here. But I see a pattern taking place, leading us up to the New World Order really soon. Based on replacement theology and the elimination of Israel. But first you pull them in. Before you kill them. You pull the enemy in. Keep your enemies close. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. That's what they're doing. They created what's called the Boulay Society for the black affluent blacks in the Freemasonry. What they don't realize is it's temporary. So for Freemasonry to control the affluent blacks, they created the Boulay Society in the early 1900s to get them under control. White folk, they put them under the different degrees of Freemasonry, but the Americas will never to get over 13th degree for the majority, and only a handful of the 32nd degree, and of course the 33rd degree, a whole different ballgame. We're going to talk tonight about a takeoff of the replacement theology we talked about last night. And we're going to talk about dominionism, which is closely connected. And that's what's going on today. It is dominionism relative to the end times events and this Yeshua coming. These are all connected. It's all connected. And I realized that my talking about Willie Lynch today, I just realized a little while ago, is connected to dominionism. We'll talk about that here shortly. This is quite amazing. I didn't realize this till just very recently. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray. We lift up this Bible study to you, Lord. That, Father, we can learn tonight, share, and think, and, Father, write, use the scriptures, Father, to lead us, to be using you, you're using us, Father, as your army when we, Father, spread the gospel. But to go against those of the New World Order, that, Lord, you give us that ability, that the words to speak when we have to witness before people. Father, we're praying for our families and awareness. We pray, Lord, you give us discernment and wisdom to say and do the right things and the courage to stay the course. Father, we see that the signs are coming. As we prepare in the future events, Lord, open up our minds and our hearts and the opportunities you can give us, that we can prepare for these coming times. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. The Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is a vast conspiracy that we're involved in. So folks told me a little while ago, not long ago, today, I should chill. I said, what do you mean chill? Well, this isn't Sunday. And this isn't Sunday school. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I wrote, when does your dad stop being your dad? When does your mom stop being your mother? What day is that? Can you tell me what days it is? When does Satan sleep? And what days does he tempt us? And what days does he not tempt us? There's no such thing as stopping. There's no such thing as chilling. People, they got us thinking that you only worship God on Sundays for 1 hour and that's it. Oh, you want to go Wednesday too? Okay, so go ahead on Wednesday night. You can do that. And then Sunday, 1 hour. So that's 2 hours a week. Any other time you can do whatever. Really? Just keep it on Sundays, okay? Okay? I'll just be your mother on Sundays or your father on Sundays. Or you go to church on Sundays. And on Mondays, I'll be your dad. If any other day, I'm not your dad. Family don't work that way. You just don't turn God off and turn him off. You certainly don't turn Satan on and turn Satan off. Family, it's 24-7, 7 days a week, the day you were born, the day you die. Satan's in your face every single day, every single minute, every single hour. Holy Spirit's there keeping him back. Even during the sleep time. There's no day off. It doesn't work that way. There's no certain times that you do the Ten Commandments. On Monday, you do the first one. And then the second day, don't worry about the first commandment on the second day. You can violate if you want to. It don't work that way. People think this is kind of a don't mix politics and religion thing. Well, no, you have to because they are mixed. One uses the other. What is Christian dominionism then? What is this term, dominionism? This is your Steven Anderson stuff and Rick Joyner and Jerry Boykin and these guys. This is dominionism. This is the Vatican, the Jesuits, Luciferian. See, dominionism, Christian dominionism, is certainly an educated term. Here we go. It's coined by social scientists and made popular by journalists to refer to a subset of American Christianity that's conservative and it's politically active. Believes that Christians should eventually take control of the government. Now, my regular listeners, that should raise both eyebrows when you talk about Rick Joyner calling for a military takeover of the U.S. government. And he's the Knights of Malta, as is Jerry Boykin, Oliver North, Leonard Horowitz. I mean, names are long. It includes Rhodes Scholars and Knights of Columbus. They're all in the same Luciferian ball of wax. It's kind of a term used by a catch-all by bloggers to describe any politically active Christian. But not every conservative politically-minded Christian is dominionist. Let me throw something at you. We know the Council of Foreign Relations is Luciferian because it is Illuminati. It determines the American policy politically in America, CFR, accounting for all the wars. Blame it on the CFR. Well, under the CFR came an organization called the Council of National Policy. A group of right-wing religious elitists like LaHaye, James Dobson, these guys. I mean a laundry list, and they're parts of the Bilderberg, parts of the Trilateral Commission, and so forth. Council of National Policy created the Tea Party. You know, the rah, rah, rah stuff. White folk, Republican, right-wing, religious-type conservatives. Pat Robinson's a member of the CNP. They believe that God desires Christians to rise to power through civil systems, so his word, might then govern the nations. Kind of extending the Gentiles' assignment, believing that we're going to raise the nation, the Christians will raise the nation, and God and Jesus don't have to do it. The belief that America is a Christian nation is sometimes called soft dominionism. So the idea that God wants only Christians to hold government office and run the country is, according to biblical law, called hard dominionism. I smell the Inquisition coming again. But you know, the dominion theology, the beliefs are based on Genesis 1, verse 28, which says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Subdue it. Oh, there we go. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So the verse is taken by a Christian dominionist as a divine mandate to claim dominion over the earth, physical, spiritual, and politically. However, there's a rub to it. It's kind of taken a large step away from the text, actually, which says only to have dominion over the creatures of the earth and subdue the earth. So it's likely this kind of verse means for humanity to, say, one, multiply and expand over the face of the earth instead of staying in one place, and two, to keep and take care of all other living things. So there's no political entities in Genesis 1. However, this dominion theology takes it to a whole new level. It goes even further with this verse and leading to two other philosophies. This is where Christian identity comes in. See, Christian Reconstructionalism and the kingdom now is a theology. And Christian Reconstructionalism is, makes my hair fall out of my head. It's kind of an intellectual, high-minded worldview. See, that would do in the place of the Knights Templar, secret societies, and the Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholars. So, it's much more popular in conservative branches of Christian faith. Reconstructionalism says that dominion will be achieved by each Christian excelling in their own individual field. The art world, the musicians, Christian businessmen taking dominion over the business world until all systems or fields are subdued. They go way a step further. So the kingdom now, theology, which is popular among charismatic and Pentecostal groups. The charismatic group was created by the Illuminati, so it was Pentecostal. It focuses on taking dominion of the earth by way of the spiritual battle. So we got the term was called kingdom now. And the inheritance of this quote-unquote kingdom, N-O-W, now, they believe that long time ago, Satan stole the keys of spiritual dominion. And he did that when he deceived Adam and Eve. Of course, Jesus took it back. When Christ gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter, according to their Matthew 16, verse 19, that was a sign, according to them, that dominion had been returned back to man. So, they see it from a point of view. It is our job to take back what's rightfully ours, that is to claim dominion over the earth and spiritually subdue it for Christ. And does that mean to pray for a military takeover of the U.S. government? for the Knights of Malta and Columbus over in Europe to also do a takeover, heading toward a new world order. Yeah. Proponents of Kingdom Now theology, what they do is they believe that the capturing of this dominion includes having Christians in political office. Begs the question, does that include secret society members? Because Illuminati is going to eliminate all the secret society members. A lot of them don't even know this. Satan, when he's done with you, he gets rid of you. You know, you got well-meaning Christians that are attracted to these kind of philosophies. They don't understand the implications. This Christian dominionism thing, its offshoots are horribly unbiblical. These systems of thought are, well, nominally based on biblical principles. Nominally. But your Christian Reconstructionalism and the kingdom, quote-unquote, now type of theology kind of veer away from the heart and message of the whole gospel. They're getting all this rah-rah-rah stuff going on, and they don't see the reality of the departure from a Christian faith. It is a tad bit understandable, though, that Christians is troubled by the abortion and general moral chaos of a now lukewarm, rivalistic society. They want to take control of the culture and steer it back toward sanity, according to them. While at the same token, holding on to this dominionism, this is not a biblically viable option. But this is where they're headed toward the next war, especially in America. So, you know, in a way, kind of, the disciples were of a kingdom now mindset. They thought that Jesus was going to usher in the kingdom immediately and wipe out Roman rule. That's what ticked them off. He didn't do that. He expected to ride in on a white horse, what the scripture said, and just wipe out the Roman rule. Done. But that's not what happened. Sorely disappointed them. It wasn't what he's about. It isn't what he's about now. He's not going to do that even in the tribulation. He's going to take his church out of here before that first trumpet sometime. And boy, he's going to pound this earth with a ball peen hammer like on a packet of marshmallows. Seven trumpets, seven angels. Family, it's not going to be over with quick either. 3.5 years of judgment for everything we've done on this earth. Man, you're not going to escape it. Oh, Tommy, you're just being so negative. You want to read the Bible again? Tell me about negative. I'd rather be warned than be surprised, especially when your soul's at stake. What say you? But as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Well, it didn't. God was among them, but not in the way they expected, or wanted, excuse me. We belong to a heavenly kingdom that's not of this world. See, people got it all backwards. That's Southern for backwards. Romans 8:23 says, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. So we're seeking another home, a city of foundations. You'll find that in Hebrews 11:10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. For they say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. That's Hebrews 11:14. And Hebrews 13:14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The world's passing away. There's no stopping that. There's going to come a point, and it's not going to operate anymore. You see? 1 Corinthians 7:31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. 1 John 2:17. And the world pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's all coming round, Robin. What's going on today? I see it as God lays it out before us. Colossians 3:2-5. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, homosexual, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I'm looking here somewhere, and I don't see what day that we can do these things. I don't see it. Must be that we've got to keep mindful of this 24 hours, 7 days a week. Nope, I don't see certain days that we can get away with it. Yeah, because there isn't any. It's right and good to want to see justice done and biblical principles upheld. That's all well and fine. You know, some of these do believe, that claim to be the tribe of Dan. They have this belief that the wicked will be removed first. That means the Christian will be left here. And the wicked removed first. I don't know what Bible they're using. Well, it's sure not the King James Bible. Then there's no need for the 3 years tribulation and the 7 trumpets of judgment. If the wicked removed, then, boy, that really kind of messes things up now, don't it, for God? Why would God do that? Unless he came down here as Yeshua, Sananda, and say, well, all these negative tribulations, it's not going to happen. And those people that disappeared, they were restrictive. They misread the Bible. We removed them to another place. The wicked being removed first is part of this. Wow, it's all connected. Oh boy. I'm starting to see a pattern going on here with what I'm teaching in the previous Bible studies and what I'm seeing in teaching about the black and white issues and the techniques that they're using to bring about this thing. I'm seeing a pattern develop here. Amos 5:15. Man, that's amazing. This stuff is all connected. Son of a gun. That's scary. Amos 5:15. Hate the evil, love the good, establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Micah 6:8. There's one I haven't used in a while. It's Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to just thee, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, we're about to do everything as unto the Lord. We are the salt and light. So it's reasonable, perfectly reasonable, for Christians to hold jobs in government and all other areas of society. But bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth is not our commission. Our commission is to spread the gospel. Our commission is to tell people, yeah, about the wonderful news that despite the sick, sinful condition of our souls, God has provided salvation by how? Sacrificing his own son on our behalf. And again, he don't give a day when we can do this. So it must be 24/7. Romans 5, 6 to 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one day die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, did you get that? And what's the wrath? It's the trumpets. So by grace through faith, we become citizens of a perfect world that will last eternally. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. So, our job, should you declare to accept it, this will self-destruct in 15, better be quiet. It's liable to. Our job is to rescue those who are perishing, to hold back those stumbling towards slaughter. So how can we do that if we just chill? That's my question. How do you do that when you just chill and say, well, you know, reincarnation, okay, you know, born again, I can see where you're coming from, and I'll just chill, and maybe you're right. Baloney. If my brother or sister says reincarnation is possible, I'll say, no, absolutely not. Now, it is if you want to make it up, but it ain't going to happen. No such thing as reincarnation. It's our duty to tell so, say so. If it's reincarnation, Jesus didn't have to die on the cross in the first place. Just wait to get it right 15 lifetimes, which is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. What if you're just a baby and you die? You get reincarnated again? Man, never even got started. How's that work? You weren't able to commit evil, so why are you reincarnating already? And they do not have their stuff together. People ain't thinking. Proverbs 24:11. If thou forbear to deliver them all that are drawn to death, and those that are ready to be slain. So our job is to rescue those who are perishing, that are going the wrong path. Hold back those stumbling towards slaughter. so they don't get slaughtered. If I'm going to chill, it leads them to slaughter if I don't warn them. And condemnation upon you as a watchman. When you see the sword coming, and you don't say something, their blood's on your hands. Christian dominionism seeks to perfect this world by political clout. Hence the secret societies. But it's the Spirit who must bring change. As in Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. So one day, Jesus is going to bring his kingdom to earth. And that in justice and true righteousness, not the fake they got today, not Yeshua or Sananda or fallen angels that's coming, extraterrestrial nonsense to fool everybody. There'll be judgment before that ever happens. Or after, actually, I'm wrong. Your peace and prosperity will bring it, and then comes judgment. Then comes Jesus. It'll be the end of this world system. It will not continue. So the core doctrine of Jesus Christ's second coming, and that's not to be confused with the rapture. When they see him in the clouds, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive be caught and brought up. That's not his second coming. His second coming is just that, second coming. He'll be in Jerusalem, ready for the pilgrimages. That's the second advent. Jesus Christ is coming again bodily to earth to rule and judge. No intercession to judge. And all other religions, nowadays even Christianity, deny that he is coming bodily to earth to rule and judge. They're manipulating that even in Christianity. Cults deny this doctrine in other ways. The doctrine is denied by believing in anything other than pre-trib, pre-wrath, or post-trib, raptures, coming of Christ. These doctrines affirm that Jesus Christ is coming back bodily to rule and judge. So they can all be lumped together in what's called the premillennial views. There's other doctrines that's taught in the third way that deny the doctrine. They're called postmillennialism, dominionism, bingo, and amillennialism. You know, they could use these words to put them on an index card for people with DUI. You know that? Anyway, for clarification, a pre-trib rapture, the pre-trib view holds that the church will be raptured before the entire 70th week of Daniel. Now, this is a prevalent view in countries that have never experienced in widespread persecution, such as the United States. And Jesus comes back bodily at the end of the 70th week of Daniel to rule and judge Armageddon. The mid-trib rapture, the church is going to escape the last half of the 70th week. It's also known as the Great Tribulation, the seven trumpets. Jesus then comes back. He comes back bodily at the end of the tribulation to rule and judge. A pre-wrath rapture. See, they even got names for it, so nobody really knows when, right? The pre-wrath rapture is kind of the basic aspect of pre-wrath view, or that the rapture is distinct from the second coming. So the rapture will take place between the sixth and seventh seal. Sixth seal, sun's dark as sackcloth, and moon turned blood red, and earthquake. Seventh seal then announces the first trumpet. It's pre-wrath rapture. Now, post-trib, second coming, in most versions of a post-tribulationism, the rapture, raptir, hepizo, second coming at the same time. All happens at once, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Post-trib, people that do not consider themselves to be pre-wrath before the trumpets. Jesus Christ comes back for his elect. They meet him in the air, and he comes bodily to earth immediately to rule and reign. But see, that leaves out the judgment seat of Christ and marriage supper of the Lamb. Unless you're going to have fast food up there. That's not going to work. And family, they don't have Burger King up in heaven. Now, preterism, this view that Calvinists take a lot of times, Calvinism, they even got their own religion. That view, and they use that heretical Geneva Bible too. The view has different variations. It places many or all the eschatological events in the past. It's already happened. Especially during the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. R.C. Sproul, The Last Days According to Jesus, on page 228, talks about that. And so this extreme version of the view denies the need for Jesus to return bodily to rule and reign. Because he supposedly already did, and the church is Christ, tied to amillennialism. So preterists and Calvinists say everything's already done. There comes your dominionism. Calvinism, the Council of National Policy. The wicked's removed from the earth. Oh, you got it? Everything's all done. It's all finished. Preterism. Calvinism. Now, amillennialism is a system of theology which does not include a future millennial reign of Christ on the earth. He's not going to be here for 1,000 years. I'm not sure which Bible they're using, but it's not the King James, that's for sure. They believe that Jesus Christ is reigning today. And this is through his church, and that Satan is already bound. Now that explains to me, when I was in Micro Effect, we had some called Theocrat or whatever that said Jesus is already reigning today. I said, really? And Satan is bound? Well, Jesus is sort of sleeping on the job, isn't he? They deny the bodily return of Christ to rule and judge. Now, post-millennialism or dominionism, they're becoming hard to distinguish apart these days. Even harder to doggone try to pronounce. They're kind of fusing together one system of belief. I call it made-up religion. It's popular in the third wave counterfeit revival. And it's the belief that Christ will return after the church has Christianized society. Bingo. And this is where your Rick Joyners and Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, your major generals and all this, and one side come up with Joel's army. He'll not rapture his elect because they'll be victorious here on earth. Jesus, we don't need you to come back. We got soft. We got the Jedi swords. See, Jesus Christ does not come back bodily, but returns in his church and reigns on earth through his church spiritually. So post-millennialism, denies that Christ returns bodily to rule and judge. Now, there's all kinds of assorted views, of course. But any view that denies that Jesus will return bodily to rule and judge is a false view and not a Christian view, but a satanic view. Luciferian at best. He is returning. The second coming of Christ is the cornerstone of biblical doctrine. It's not possible to be considered orthodox and evangelical unless you believe Jesus is coming back bodily to rule and reign. Our Lord promised it, the apostles confirmed it, and the entire book of Revelation celebrates it. John 14, 1-3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Now you'll find that. Let me double check. John 14, 1-3. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you into myself, and where I am, that you may be also. You may be also. In Matthew 26:64. Now, you find other writings that's telling the truth, but they use different Bibles. Man, these people, you know, I'll tell you what. Matthew 26:64. Jesus said to him, "That I said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Family, it's not going to be in some UFO neither. Luke 21:27. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Boy, I heard that in a lot of times. So the return of Christ will be visible. He will not come in secret. He will not come mystically or in UFOs or only for those with eyes to see him kind of things. Oh, that's tricky, isn't it? All humanity will witness his coming, and those who do not belong to him will be terrified because their soul will sense that loss. This will be a time of horror because they'll know that their lamp was not wicked and it is not, don't have any fuel in it. Acts 1:11. "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing to the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Matthew 24:29-30. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light." That's the sixth seal. "And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now, they got to fake that. You know that, right? They got to fake that. Revelation 1, verse 7. And no surprises. No secrets in God's heaven or on earth. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." takes it back a long way, don't it? And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So the second coming of Christ will be bodily. He will not come spiritually. He will not return within his own body to the church. He has a body now, a glorious body, witnessed by the Apostle John, Revelation 1, 12 to 16. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the foot and girt with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. His countenance was as the sun shineth in the strength. When I saw him, I felt his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." In layman's terms, hit them, whip their butt. And he's coming back. That's as he is in the heavens. So Philippians 3:21 talks about some physics and alchemy. Physics and power of God, not alchemy, because Satan uses alchemy to try to copy God. God's going to shut that down. Revelation 1, 12 to 16. Pay attention very carefully. "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, in Philippians 3:21, he wanted me to read that one also. Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereby, whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself? No man has ascended," he said. You say, "Whoa, whoa, hold on there, Cletus. I thought Enoch and Elijah." No, they were taken. Their bodies were translated. Ascension is that person doing it, and there's only one, and that was Jesus. So that's why they call them the ascended masters. When all they're doing is going from the first heaven, earth, through ritualized negative energy and all that nonsense back to the second heaven, which is a known universe. They're not ascending. They're going through portals using alchemy and the death and destruction of mankind to get it done. Then they call it ascension. Ascension my butt. He's going to stiff them up good, too. I'll tell you that right now. Zechariah 14:3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought on the day of battle. Now, wait a minute. I thought we were going to form Joel's army and go fight God's battle. No. No. He's going to fight our battle. Like Carrie Joby said, he fights the battle, not Joel's army. Goodness gracious. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. His true nature will not be concealed. He'll come at the head of a heavenly army as a conquering sovereign that he really is. Titus 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:30, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Right on time. Family, spirit's moving. Anytime this thing could go south, don't y'all freak out. Because God's going to use you. A lot of people ain't going to be ready for that. But he who stands in the end will be saved. Say, once saved, always saved. That's true. But here's the tricky part. Majority are not saved in the first place. When you become born again, what did Nicodemus say? How is it that I can be born again? How can I go back as an old man back in my mother's womb to be born again? And then Jesus explains to him what being born again means. So in one way, you can't go back birthright, physically back in your mother's womb. So being born again spiritually means something different, of course, right? But once you're born again, spiritually, it's the same thing. But here's the problem, and I talked about this this past week, is that they're not born again in the first place. So they say, no, you can lose your salvation. Well, that means you can get born again how many times? No, you lose rewards. But the rub is, from these churches, they're not teaching them how to be born again in the first place. Repentance. Answering up the sins you've done. There's secret society members in churches that are trying to hold the preacher back from saying, no fornication. Repent of your fornication. Repent of your lying. Repent of what you've done because you have some Freemasons that's taking blood oaths, working for certain places, that that's what's going on here. They don't like the preacher preaching that, and I know for a fact because one of the preachers I talked to said he was warned to stop making some of those sermons. So they ping on homosexuals. That all homosexuals should die. Like Steven Anderson says, say what? So you get everybody's attention toward that, and not who's fornicating, not who's lying, cheating, stealing. So nobody can convict them. It's not about asking Jesus into your heart. It's about you repenting of sins, having faith, and Jesus comes into your heart for that reason. They're not telling people about that. So when you backslide, being born again, you don't lose your salvation. Because you never had it in the first place. And if you was born again, you start backsliding, you will lose rewards. How do you know you're born again? There's changes in your life. Things change. You don't continue doing what you used to do, but you'll continue with other sins. God's just there to convict you when you perform, when you think about Him. He always gives you a way out. It's that conviction. Now, how they get over on that? That's where Carnegie comes in. That's where your Robinsons comes in. That's where your positive power of positive thinking, Norman Vincent Peale. When you start feeling that conviction, don't feel so bad about yourself. But that's God talking to you. He's convicting you of the sins. Then some psychiatrist comes along and say, well, all right, let's talk about this. Take this pill first. Okay. That's what's going on. Is it trying to override that conviction from the Holy Spirit and call it negative feelings and you're having a trauma, you're having this, that, and the other? You need a pill to get out of that conviction thing going on. Y'all see what's happening? Wow. Norman Vincent Peale was Illuminati. Nobel Peace Prize. Nobel was Illuminati. Carnegie was Illuminati. See how it works? They got it covered every end. Rick Joyner. What is about to come upon this earth is not just a revival or another awakening. It is a viable revolution. The vision was given in order to begin to awaken those who are destined to radically change the course and even the very definition of Christianity. Rick Joyner, The Harvest on Joel's Army. How about that? How about those apples, huh? Is that a spade a spade? A rascal calling out a rascal. There you go. He's a rascal. Falls right in line, and we know now where it's coming from. These old rascals, I tell you what. Boy, I tell you. Aren't that something? I got a whole bunch of Kenneth Hagin, word faith. Yes, sin, sickness, disease, spiritual death, poverty, and everything else that's of the devil once ruled us. But now, bless God, we rule them. For this is a day of dominion. Word of faith, 1996. Boy, oh boy, I see it coming to a head. Well, family, tomorrow is going to be a day, part two of what I talked about. How the racial issue has torn us apart. At the same time, they're going to use this to even more so. And we'll talk about education tomorrow, how they've controlled it. And the infiltration of the churches, it's going to be a little complicated, but I will simplify it, hopefully, to where it won't seem like it's complicated for you. For me, it's going to be horribly complicated, but I'm going to weave it together, hopefully, and lay it out to where easily you can see, because you got to know the enemy to fight the enemy, to undo what the school system has done to your children through the humanist system. We'll identify the humanist of schools, how they operate, how they sneak into your family's privacy without you knowing about it. I hope to expose some of their tricks tomorrow. How the schools attack religion and how to find humanistic teaching in schools. How to ferret them out. And then get your children after to undo what the school did before on a daily basis. But you got to know what they're doing first. Now they've got a system, too, they've set up. I indicated that when I talked about Dr. Chester Pierce in 1972, how I laid it out for the teachers then to make all these quote-unquote sick children well by creating international children of the future, unquote. What? Yep, that's what he said, 1972 in front of 2,000 eyewitnesses, calling children sick at 5 years old, for teachers to create the international children of the future. Well, family, I'm going to close in prayer. Let you all know before I go that broadcasts and Bible studies are played up in highpointradio.net. Highpointradio, one word, .net. And the owner is John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He has sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, those three states. The list of sponsors is on his website, highpointradio.net. And use those sponsors if you can, if you're up there, and or help him with some donations to help him keep up with his network. For me, he plays my broadcast and Bible studies on a random basis. Also, my website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Thank you all for coming tonight. Let's close in prayer. And tomorrow, I'll see you at 4 o'clock. Hit the ground running. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. We close down. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get us ready for those dire events that we'll stand up for you when that day of testing comes. And Lord, for those that seek the truth, that you'll put us in the right place at the right time to be able to witness to those who love Jesus. That Father, we'll be back in touch with family members and friends that have long gone, that Lord, we'll bring them back together. And that, Lord, that you'll spread the gospel before that time really hits. Father, to give us that wisdom, discernment, to see through this deception. And to get through those that are already taken away. That, Father, you'll bring them back together. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, any interesting thoughts or something that's come out of it, let me know. I appreciate y'all coming by tonight. And then tomorrow we're going to hit the ground running. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. This is Thomas Gamble, your watchman. And I'm signing off.
Was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into